to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to another absolutely scintillating live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday, May 15th, coming to you as always from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our AM-FM affiliate stations, courtesy of the Liberty News Radio Network, are carrying on us this evening, as is our internet stream at thepoliticalcesspool.org, where our broadcast archives are available to you also, should you miss a live installment. Ladies and gentlemen, what can I say about Keith Alexander? As I said, I have been smart enough to surround myself with some pretty impressive talent. Keith Alexander, Eddie Miller, Winston Smith, Bill Rowland, they are my co-hosts, and they rotate in intermittently. Keith always with me, though, for the first hour. And I tell you, you know, tonight Keith has proven once again what keeps the Political Cesspool radio program head and shoulders above all of the competition out there. He had prepared such a great commentary on the disastrous effects to American culture that the Brown versus Board of Education decision had. And when Keith is rolling like that, I know just to stay out of the way and let the man do what he does best. And he was at his best this evening. If you missed the first hour of tonight's show and you don't know what I'm talking about, perhaps if you're just tuning in, remember that those broadcast archives are available to you at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And this just it's a continuation of that which we've been bringing you not only for the past 6 years on this show, but certainly for the past few weeks. I have felt as though this show has just absolutely been on fire. The radio show's website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, our blog, everything is just firing on all cylinders. Our takes on Elena Kagan, the latest on the illegal alien invasion, so much more. Very precise, very sharp, I believe we are, in our delivery. And as I said during that first hour, it's just such an honor and a privilege to be able to serve as the advocate of the American right, as a voice for traditional and paleo-conservative points of views, and to be able to sort of foster their renaissance on the mainstream airwaves. We are doing great work here in the political cesspool, and also, as I mentioned during that first hour in passing, quite briefly, we're not just here to maintain our high-profile status quo. Yes, we're proud of the work we do. We want to continue to do it and to improve in our craft, but we have a very exciting announcement that's going to be coming up right around June 1st. A very special project that is going to complement the work that we do on the air is nearing completion, and it's going to be out in just a couple of weeks. It's going to be another milestone for our program. So, as I said, be sure to tune in to every show we bring you on Saturday night. Be sure to check our website every day and keep your eyes peeled for this big announcement. And going back to something we said earlier about the work that this show does, I was talking with a supporter of the Political Cesspool earlier this week about some of the attacks that we've sustained from our enemies over the years, the Southern Poverty Law Center and the ADL. And he had commented, and I agree with him, that the reason this show is attacked so often by some of the biggest anti-American hate mongers of the left is because they believe we're a threat. And they're right, which is why that we are attacked more than anyone else. No right-of-center organization, regardless of how big their budget is, has sustained more attacks from these dogs in recent years than we have. And it is because, again, of our success. We're using the AM and FM radio to get these paleo-conservative ideas that the mainstream media would rather have hushed up or distorted. And we're reintroducing them to the mainstream. And this is what we've done. And the trail of hits on us from 06 to 2010 has been steady and consistent. Their most recent jabs are readily accessible on the Internet. But, you know, help us keep the momentum maintained, ladies and gentlemen. This is a listener-supported program. If you value our work, we need your help. We appreciate your support more than you know, and we need your support in order to continue to grow and to improve, to evolve. And if you want to make a donation to this radio program, you can do so at thepoliticalcesspool.org. We have a safe and secure credit card processor This is something Kevin McDonald issued an excellent article about last week, outlining that one of the main reasons why the paleoconservative or America First movement never seems to go anywhere, and it's because of the lack of money that organizations have. Groups like AIPAC and the ADL and the Southern Poverty Law Center rake in tens of millions of dollars every year, while pro-white organizations struggle to even raise $20,000 or $30,000 a year. And, of course, young white activists can't even make enough money to feed a family or keep a roof over their own head. It's disgraceful, quite frankly, and it needs to change. And until that changes, don't expect anything else to change in a big way in American culture. Pound for pound, we're doing more than most, to say the least. And we want you to support all of the organizations out there that are producing good fruit. And if you think our radio show is among them, consider making a contribution tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can find the donation link there right above the blog. And we appreciate your consideration. That being said, I'm going to get off the soapbox now. It does need to be reminded, I think, to folks from time to time that we all have to play our role on the team. And there's many ways that you can help us as we try to help this country that we all love so much. People who aren't doing that, of course, the usual suspects are at it again, this time at Comedy Central. Recently, they censored, as you might remember, the foul-mouthed show South Park to remove all depictions of Muhammad, the founder of Islam. They even bleeped out any mention of his name. Meanwhile, however, they've just announced an entire series blaspheming and ridiculing Jesus Christ and God the Father. And here's the description of this series. It's going to be called JC. And according to a Comedy Central, and we know who runs Comedy Central, we know who runs Hollywood, we know who runs the media, and why they would hate Christianity and Jesus so much, but they say this in their press release. A half-hour animated show about Jesus Christ wanted to escape his father's enormous shadow and live a life in New York City as a regular guy. A lot has changed in 2,000 years, Comedy Central writes, and he is the ultimate fish out of water. Meanwhile, his all-powerful yet apathetic father would rather be playing video games than listening to Jesus recount his life in the city. Jesus is a playful take on religion and society with a sprinkle of dumb. So to that I say, you know, God, wow, man, what fearless satirists at Comedy Central. You know, they will create an entire series mocking Jesus Christ, our Savior, but they're scared to death to even mention Islam or Muhammad. And you know what they're going to do. You can already see it. This, because it mocks Christianity, because it defames the name of Jesus, it's going to win awards. And when they attend, when the producers of this despicable program attend these award ceremonies, they're going to be applauding each other for their courage and for their refusal to give in to censorship, so on and so forth. And, you know, again, I think it just goes to show why this program and why other shows like it here on Liberty News Radio Network, and there might be a few other shows around the country that are doing somewhat similar work, but you know, especially our show, why we are so wonderfully refreshing and different, if I may be so bold to offer such a critique of our own work. You get this kind of stuff attacking whites, attacking Christianity, attacking America, attacking the Constitution, attacking our history, our heroes, and our culture. How many shows are like this? How many shows are like JC here on Comedy Central? You know, you couldn't even list them all if you had hours worth of internet research to help you. And then you compare and contrast that with how many shows are standing up in defense of American heroes and ideals. How many are holding the line in the culture war without retreat, surrender, or apology? Not many. And none are doing so more prominently than we are. And we thank the Liberty News Radio Network for giving us this great opportunity to continue our work and to continue to grow. And this is a growing network, and we want any success that we share to be shared by our friends here. And certainly it will, and it has been. But ladies and gentlemen, those who best understand the strength of a tide in a country are those with the courage to swim against it. And I guess what I'm saying is I'm proud to be one of you, and I'm so proud and thankful for the audience that this radio program has, for their support, for their friendship, for their prayers, their kind emails and letters. We are all in this together. We are a family, and I'm never going to let you down, ladies and gentlemen. We are never going to capitulate. We're never going to water down our message because we believe we are speaking the truth, and we're doing it in a very objective and professional manner. And we're going to always give you that. And another guy who does it is our guest coming up right after this next commercial break, Tom Ball. He authored the book Starving the Monkeys. Check him out on the internet. We've got his link to his website prominently featured on ours tonight, thepoliticalcesspool.org. You can link over to Tom Ball's book website. He's going to be on tonight to talk about the book once again. Tom's appeared with us twice in the past. He's going to be with us in just a moment. We're going to talk about his book. We're going to talk about the economy and more right after this.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the show, ladies and gentlemen. James Edwards here as the political cesspool rolls on this Saturday evening, May 15th. We are now joined by our featured guest for the evening, Tom Ball, author of Starving the Monkeys. He's been on twice before to promote that book, and we'll certainly be mentioning it again this evening as he appears with us. But the reason we're having Tom on this evening is because, in addition to being an accomplished author, he is also a columnist, and his columns can be read at the website for this radio network, libertynewsradio.com. And when I read Tom's most recent article, that was published earlier in the week, I was absolutely spellbound. Not only did we immediately put up a link to it on our official blog on our website, I immediately contacted Tom and said, listen, we got to have you on to break down that column for the listening audience. And with that being said, let's welcome back to the program Tom Ball. Tom, how are you?
Doing pretty good, James. I'm really happy to be back, and I want to thank Liberty News Radio for picking me up as a columnist for their network. That was that's quite an honor, and I look forward to a lot of great things in the future with you guys.
Well, you've got a lot to contribute, Tom. As people will know, we've been getting some very favorable emails about that column as people have come to see it on our website this week. Of course, it's still prominently featured there, ladies and gentlemen. You can get it at libertynewsradio.com. It's there near the top of the blog at thepoliticalcesspool.org also. So, Tom, without further procrastination, tell us what that column was all about. Break it down, and let's move forward from there.
Well, that column is about a pretty radical change in the way that we think about this country. In your first hour, and for the listeners that have picked this up on the website and are listening to it after the fact, I'd like you to go to the Liberty News Radio archives and watch and listen to that first hour because it was just absolutely phenomenal. And there's a lot of themes there that tie in to this article, New York Who. And the basic idea is that our society has become deliberately feminized. It has been controlled by opinion makers in New York and D.C., and I don't think that's surprising news to anybody. But along the lines of Starving the Monkeys, Fight Back Smarter, the book, that article points out one possible way that we can fight back and put these people in their place. Because as we've seen in Greece, and as the people in Birmingham, Alabama know all too well, the bankers in New York are some of the most criminal people in the history of the world. And they do terrible things to people's economies. They're terribly destructive. And for decades, we've had a rabid dog which has been going out and biting people all over the world, and we haven't had the guts to do anything about it. And now, while we've been out essentially defending them after 9/11, they've started turning around and robbing us blind even more boldly than they have before. Because effectively, we've built a fortress around them, and we've called that fortress the Department of Homeland Security. And so, while these people are robbing us blind, while this rabid dog has now turned on us, we haven't had the guts to do anything about it. And so what I'm proposing in that article is if New York won't lay down these economic weapons that they've been using on us. I propose we simply turn our backs on them. Let whatever happens to them happen. And the impetus for this article came when a couple of weekends ago, there was terrible storms here in the southeast. Dozens of people were killed. And what was the lead story? Oh, no, Times Square has been threatened again. Some guy put together some bomb made out of fireworks. Okay, terrible thing, I'm sure. But to the New York media, the only thing that matters is their problem. Nobody seems to care what's happened to Birmingham, Alabama, where New York bankers have come in and basically destroyed that city and tried to enslave everybody there. And I want to throw out to any of your listeners, if any of you listeners out there can get me a microphone in Birmingham, let's see what New York is afraid of. Because I'd like to have a discussion about that. Because I think there's some very simple things that Birmingham can do to take the teeth out of New York, along the lines that Arizona is doing with immigration. You know, we've talked a lot in some of these articles that I've written and some of the shows that we've had about the states taking back power from D.C., and I know there's a lot of my listeners, a lot of my readers out there who were a little concerned about my position on Arizona, but I've got to tell you, James, my position with Arizona is anything that a state can do to thumb their nose at D.C. and their financial masters in New York, I think is a good thing.
Amen to that, Tom. Absolutely.
Because nobody has to live there if you don't want. Nobody has to do business with them, but I bet Arizona will be surprised how many people will start doing business with them because of this.
Well, Arizona, we've covered this at length, and I don't want to get off topic because the topic, rightly so, is your column here. But, yeah, Arizona is blazing a trail that many states are beginning to follow, and for the first time in my career as a political activist, I'm beginning to see some hope that the rudder of this country may be turning. At least there is some resistance now beginning to form, and Arizona is obviously at the forefront of that. But Tom, back to the subject at hand.
Right, and I think that's a great thing that they're doing. We may not agree with them politically, but anything they can do to take away power from D.C. is important. And so one of the things that I'm proposing that we consider is, if everything Mr. Alexander said in the first hour, if everything he said is true, then this country has been taken away from us. And it doesn't really matter what your religious or ethnic background is. It's been taken away. And if it's been taken away, is it our country anymore? Then why are we putting on uniforms to defend the interests of somebody in New York City? And in the next segment, I want to talk about the people in New York City. But why are we putting on uniforms? Why are we sending our kids to go fight and die and get maimed for those people? Because when I checked on 9/11, we didn't get attacked. Georgia didn't get attacked. Tennessee didn't get attacked. Texas didn't get attacked. New York and D.C. got attacked. And they got attacked by people who could have done nothing to someone in Memphis, could have done nothing to someone in Atlanta, if we hadn't already been disarmed by the people in New York City and D.C. Terrorists pose no threat to those of us out in the heartland, no threat whatsoever. There's no terrorist plot that can last more than a few minutes out here before an armed citizenry would put a stop to it. So we're not at risk from terrorists. They are.
You know, Tom, I don't mean to interrupt, but I have to interject. What an incredibly astute observation that is. And I guess I've always noticed it, but I didn't ever break it down to such succinct wording. You're exactly right. Exactly right. And yet, the more that those, as you put it, in New York and in D.C., the power brokers are attacked, it seems as though the more we come to assist them and the more that Southerners go to fight battles on their behalf, the more disdain they show for us and our culture. It's a very strange relationship, and it's one that we should certainly dissolve ourselves from.
Absolutely. Well, there's plenty of things that we need to be doing in our own states. If a young man wants to serve his country, let him instead serve his state. Let him join a militia. Let us organize state guards out of the control of the national defense establishment. And let's swear our oaths to defend our states from all enemies, foreign and domestic. And then let's see how much New York is willing to create financial destruction in the world and the rest of the country when they find out that there's nobody that's got their back. Do they want to form their own militias? Do they want to get in their own tanks and put those millions of millionaires and go out there and fight their own wars? I don't think they would.
Well, hey, Tom, we got to take a break, but we're on to something very hot, and I've got some interesting observations and questions to pose to you when we return. Tom Ball is our guest. We'll be back right after this.
Political cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. We've got one more fleeting segment with our featured guest for the evening, Tom Ball, author, columnist, and we're talking about his most recent column entitled New York Who. It can be found at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. among other places. And Tom, something you mentioned earlier in the program, last segment, was the differences that exist between what Keith Alexander would call red state America and blue state America. You know, I agree politically, culturally, with everything going on in Arizona. You would certainly not see laws like that passed in places like New York. The southern states obviously have a very different culture, a culture that I think is far superior to that of our neighbors to the north, and yet we're treated with so much disdain. You mentioned we're always there to have their back, to use your wording, yet, you know, people don't understand. I don't know how many people realize that Nashville, Tennessee last week was underwater. I'm talking about Katrina-like devastation. It was the greatest flood in the history of the state of Tennessee. The Grand Ole Opry, Opryland Mall, all of downtown. I'm not saying water got in these buildings. I'm saying these buildings were underwater. If you had been sitting on the stage of the Grand Ole Opry, you would have drowned. You know, 6-8 feet tall water. The whole city, if you were in a helicopter, was underwater. There were no ground. There were no roads. It was underwater completely, one of the greatest natural disasters in the history of Tennessee. And you heard about it, but it didn't nearly make the kind of headlines that the guy who drove up to Broadway with a van full of firecrackers did. And Tom, that's one of the things you're talking about. And there's many other aspects to deal with here, one of which is, you mentioned the draft during the break. How does that correlate and coincide?
Well, imagine that this idea of turning your back on New York and D.C. caught on, and that young men stopped throwing themselves into the breach for a group of people who have studiously destroyed this country and every institution of value in it. This is our country. It's not theirs. And if we can't succeed, we can effectively succeed them out by choosing to not serve in the military to protect them and essentially tell the world, whatever happens to them, we're going to turn our back. We're not saying that anybody's going to attack them. We're not going to say we're going to put together any kind of plot. But if they won't behave themselves and they run out there in the world and they continue exercising financial warfare on everyone and us, we're just going to turn our back on them. Well, if that idea catches on, and I think it might, as more people get stricken by the theft that they've caused, as more people turn their back on New York and D.C. and refuse to serve for them, they're going to start a draft. And that means that your child is going to get taken from you and forced to fight for them. Well, a lot of people get excited about gun control, and they talk about what are they going to do when they come to take my guns. What I really want to ask you is, what are you going to do when they come to take your child? Forget the gun. What are you going to do when they come to take your kid and put him in a uniform to fight and die and get maimed for those thieves in New York City? What are you going to do? I think at that point, that's the tipping point. Because,
well, you know, I certainly hope so. We've had drafts before, and as unpopular as they were, it didn't really upset the power structure to the point of collapse. But you do see this, and it will happen. And as they draft our children, and the young men of this generation, or I guess women now too, if you want to get into that. But as they draft, the more they take from us, the more they will hate us. You know, you saw people from all over the country, especially the South, go up to New York in the wake of 9/11. How many New Yorkers came down to Nashville last week, Tom?
Right, exactly. Well, a month ago, when I was coming back from speaking at the 2010 Liberty Forum in New Hampshire, where I was asked to open the event that Friday morning, I drove back through New York. And one of the reasons I drove up there to New Hampshire from Georgia is because I didn't want to have to deal with the TSA, so I thought I'd just drive my SUV the whole way. Well, on the way back, Shotgun, who's my videographer, he and I decided we're going to drive through South Manhattan, and we're driving around the city, and they're just partying, and it's Sunday night. It's apparently a 24/7 party there. And why not? They're spending all the money that we've sent there in our investment, our retirement funds, and in failed banks and schemes designed to fail that they've bet the other way. We've sent them all this money, so they're just having this great party. And we're driving through South Manhattan, and we're thinking, you know, if this entire island was bulldozed tonight, then tomorrow the world would be a better place. Because it occurred to me that everybody on that island is either part of the financial structure, part of the media structure, or someone hoping that some of those crumbs are going to fall onto their plate. So I want to throw out to anybody in New York listening to this, I think it'd be a good idea to start moving now, because if people in this country do decide to turn their back, it's sort of like the story of Lot, right? That you've got to turn your back on them. You've got to walk away. And if you're a good person in New York, walk away. Leave them. Don't look back. Don't turn into that pillar of salt.
Sodom and Gomorrah, absolutely. I know where you're going with this.
And so you're right. Did they come to Nashville to help? Did they even run more than just a few obligatory stories? No, because all that matters to them is their 24/7 party at the expense of all of us and everybody else in the world.
And, you know, Tom, you made, again, I want to go back to this because it's such an astute observation. You know, the attacks that this country suffered, whether they were real or imagined, whether the government had a hand in them, we won't debate that right now, but it was Washington and D.C. And, excuse me, Washington, D.C. and New York, Manhattan. You know, the heart and soul of this country was not attacked, and there's a reason for it. And the reason is because, you know, there are still good parts of America. There are still pockets of this country with redeeming moral qualities. And the values and the corruption that persist in places like Manhattan and D.C. Really have nothing to do with America at all. It is indeed like a separate nation already.
That's right. Now, that's not to say there's not going to be attacks, because if you were over in Pakistan and you see some kid from Iowa who's, you know, shooting at you, or you find out that the guy who was running the RPV that just dropped a bomb on your house or shot a missile at your house was doing it out of New Mexico, you might think, okay, New Mexico is a valid target. But outside of this war, which was done to defend them, there would be no reason for anybody to attack New Mexico. There would be no reason for anybody to attack Memphis or Atlanta. We haven't done anything to anybody. But those people have.
Well, they have, Tom, and for the sake of the people who are still part of the fabric of America, people who still resemble that which the American experiment dreamed to be, what recourse do we have? I know you've touched on it, but what would you say to folks like us, folks like those who reside in Arizona, Tennessee, Alabama, Georgia, so on and so forth, red state Americans, what recourse do they have, and how can people find more of your work, your column, your book, so on and so forth?
Well, you can find more ideas along these lines at starvingthemonkeys.com. It's starving, I-N-G at the end of that. The word the, and monkeys, M-O-N-K-E-Y-S. And of course, that's linked in from libertynewsradio.com. But there's a lot more ideas there about things that we can do, far more than we can get into in the couple of minutes we got left. But it requires changing your mindset. And one of those things is understanding what you guys were talking about in the first hour. You guys were not just presenting a dry court case. You are presenting a fundamental change in who runs this country. And if we recognize that this country has been taken away from us, it's been taken out of our hands. We're supposed to run this. It's been taken away from us, and the authority has been used under the color of law to destroy our lives and destroy our economic opportunity. If you make that first decision that, yes, this country has been taken away and it's a deliberate effort to destroy us, then you are open to what it takes to individually empower yourself. And one of those things is just simply say, I'm not going to go over there and fight for them. Let them suffer what comes. Because if we're not willing to take care of this rabid dog, then maybe there'll be someone out there who will do it for us. And having the willingness to do that will send a message to them that, you know, maybe they never need to get it under control. Maybe they need to take a step back.
And I guess economically and financially speaking, would you advise not to invest in any sort of institution that has ties or is headquartered in either of these two cities?
Well, there's hardly any that don't at this point.
Yeah, I know. That was my follow-up question.
Right. And so one of the first thing I ask people to do is get out of bond.
Tom, right there, we got music. We'll be back in just a second, ladies and gentlemen.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
If I didn't tell him, I didn't. Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back to the final segment of the second hour. Don't forget that there is still, if you can believe it, if you can handle it, if you can take it, still much more to come tonight during the third hour where I will be joined by Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who will be co-hosting with me. We're going to talk immigration and tea parties. I often, and rightly so, give credit to the wonderful cast of co-hosts that I'm fortunate enough to be able to work with, but praise and adulation should also be extended to the wonderful roster of guests that frequent this radio program. And you just heard from another of our very finest, Tom Ball, author of Starving the Monkeys. Check him out at starvingthemonkeys.com. That's the title of his groundbreaking book. He's also a featured columnist now for this radio network, Liberty News Radio, and he was on tonight to talk about some of the aspects of his most recent column, and he really wants to get on the air down in Birmingham, Alabama. If anyone listening has a contact to any radio show there in the Birmingham area, any newspapers, any media entity or outlet whatsoever, in the Birmingham, Alabama area, Tom wants to talk to you. So get a hold of him through his website, starvingthemonkeys.com, or just email me and I'll forward it along to Tom. My email address, of course, jamesedwards@thepoliticalcesspool.org. One of the things Tom mentioned was the law passed in Arizona. It's a law, it's a measure that I support in any and every possible way that it can be supported. It's actually one of the greatest things politically that has come out of a state in my lifetime, I think, and it is wildly popular by the near unanimous public opinion of those in Arizona. I think it's supported by greater than 70% of the population, and it's spreading like grass fire across this country. You know, as we reported last week on this radio show, 12 states now planning to introduce similar measures to restrict the dangerous byproducts of illegal immigration in their states, and it's great. But the proponents of cultural Marxism are doing anything and everything they can by legal and extra-legal manners, threatening violence, doing what they normally do to intimidate the people who want to put America first into cowering in a corner. But this time, it's just not going to happen. The state governments, for once, are allying with the people of their states, their citizenry, the voting electorate, And it looks as though, at least in the cases that I've seen, people aren't backing down from intimidation tactics. If you know, we did report last week also that the Phoenix Suns, the basketball team, owned by a banker, as you might imagine, stood in opposition of that which the state wanted done, the new law that was enacted there that has public approval of over 70%. The Phoenix Suns thought, well, you know, we're smarter than 70% of the population here. You know, all they want to do is to be protected from the illegal alien invasion. But you know what? You know, we're rich and we're politically correct, so therefore we operate from a superior position, and we're going to protest. We're going to use our position in the NBA playoffs and the coverage that is provided by TNT that gets us into the households of millions and millions of people to protest that which the state has done here. And they protested by wearing Suns, by wearing jerseys that said Los Suns. And the owner and the players of the Phoenix Suns were very clear in saying that they wore those jerseys to protest the very sensible law that was passed there in that state. Well, to respond to that, a couple of season ticket holders there in Phoenix came to the next playoff game, and they were paying high dollar prices for their seats right behind the Suns' bench. And they wore T-shirts that said, Viva Los 7010, Viva Los 7010, and of course 7010 being the bill number there. Bill 7010 was the measure that enacted this new law. And that was a message that these businessmen wore to the game to protest the Suns changing their name as the state cracked down on illegal immigration. Jim Clark is the name of one of the gentlemen who wore these shirts, thought that if the Suns could express their opposition to the law, then he should be able to express his support for the law. But it wasn't long before security guards came and took him away, telling him he had to turn the shirt inside out or leave the facility. And the reason that they came was because, as I mentioned, this gentleman and his friend were sitting right behind the Suns' bench. So every time the camera zoomed in on the Phoenix coach or of the players on the bench, they would see these shirts saying Viva Los 7010, which proved that, my God, the people of this state actually agree with the measure. You know, how dare that they be allowed to use the television to get their message across. Only we, the politically correct, should be allowed to do that. Well, so because these guys were getting on TV with shirts in favor of the America First immigration law, they were rounded up by security guards and asked to leave the facility, but they refused. And after talking with the head of security and probably threatening a lawsuit, these two gentlemen were allowed to return to their seats and guess while wearing the T-shirts, I might add, and guess what happened? They were given a standing ovation and showered with applause by everyone sitting around them. How about that, owner of the Phoenix Suns? Now, the president of this team called them and later offered them free tickets to the next 10 games, no doubt hoping to avoid a lawsuit. So here's the thing, though. This time it turned out okay, but it just goes to show that more and more ordinary people in America, such as these Phoenix Suns security guards, are starting to regard any expression that non-whites might disapprove of as hate speech, quote-unquote, which can't be allowed in the age of Obama. White kids, as we mentioned last week in one of the most despicable stories we've ever covered on this radio program, white kids wearing American flag T-shirts can be sent home from schools in this country because the Mexican hierarchy in that school deem our flag to be incendiary to Mexicans. But a man wearing a T-shirt supporting a recently passed law in Arizona is, you know, removed from his seat in Phoenix in order to leave, only getting back in the game after raising a fuss. Now, you're going to see more and more stories like this in the future. But after Obama packs the Supreme Court with even more radical left-wing Zionists like Elena Kagan and Breyer and Ginsburg, there won't be any more happy endings to these stories like we had in Phoenix, as I just mentioned. People like Kagan and hateful, anti-American non-whites like Sonia Sotomayor, they hate free speech. that they don't approve of, and they want it outlawed. And we're not far from the day when they achieve their dream unless we begin to do as the residents in Arizona have done and as the residents in many other states are doing and demand that our government look after the self-interests of real Americans. And we need to coalesce and come together as a group, as European Americans who are looking out for the interests of our people as a unique ethno-state, as a unique culture, race, creed, whatever you want to call it. This is what we've got to do. You know, we say it all the time. It's perfectly natural and healthy for Mexicans, blacks, Jews, you name it, any minority group, even made-up minority groups like homosexuals. They can all have their own advocacy organizations, but for some reason it's considered evil for European Americans to have their own groups that look after their self-interest. Well, there's nothing evil about it whatsoever. It's perfectly natural and healthy, and we have got to demand that these organizations exist and grow. And in order to foster such growth, ladies and gentlemen, you're going to have to support them. You're going to have to support them financially any way you can. This radio show and others like ours, we have to have your support, not only to continue our work, but to become more influential and more prominent. And I tell you, the upward trajectory of this radio program is very exciting. We continue to grow. We continue to turn corners. We continue to evolve into bigger and better things. And as I mentioned, we've got a very interesting and I think encouraging announcement forthcoming here in a couple of weeks with the product that we're working on that is going to, I think, catapult the prominence of this radio program to another level. And we're going to continue week in, week out, bringing you this unapologetic radio show whose sole reason for existence is to advocate without apology the traditional paleoconservative America First viewpoints that helped carve this nation from a wilderness. These ideas are still readily accepted by the vast majority of the American people. And because that's true, you would think that there would be more radio shows like ours who are doing this work, but there's not, because most people are just afraid of being beaten up and bullied by the left wing. But we're not. I mean, we're used to it. And we continue to take our lickings and nurse our scars and move forward with fierce defiance and resolve. And you give us the opportunity to do that. Your support enables us to stay strong. And we're going to talk much more about that in the third hour when the political cesspool continues. Don't go anywhere.